I'm Jada Cesar, mental health and body positive advocate.
And I'm Louise Troen, the Vice President of International Marketing and Communications at Bumble.
And welcome to Unsubscribe, the podcast that aims to help you unsubscribe from the negative habits in your life and resubscribe to healthier, happier modes of living. We're joined by a host of amazing guests for our first series who are pioneering the way in their respective industries and breaking boundaries along the way.
This podcast is brought to you by Bumble, and we are the social networking app that's focused on encouraging women to make the first move in love, in friendship, and in business. This season, we've had the privilege of speaking to a wealth of incredible women from all different backgrounds, all making mammoth moves in their careers and their lives. We partnered with our team at Bumble to celebrate and share their empowering stories with the hope that you too can feel empowered to go after what you want. Whether it's in your relationship, your friendships, or your career, there is nothing stopping you from achieving it all and more. These women have shown us that anything is possible and that when we're empowered as individuals, we empower others around us and the world becomes a stronger, better place. The stories that we've explored showcase that there is no such thing as failure and that courage is the foundation of confidence.
Louise and I built Unsubscribe because we wanted to share the stories we wish we had heard when we were younger. Real stories from real admirable women. We feel really strongly that these stories have had impact, not only on our lives, but for all of you to take away, and that their advice will serve as tools for you in life. From identity to relationships to cancer, we've covered it all, and we hope that it can provide you with fuel for support when you need it the most. Lou and I wanted to go through some of the episodes to recap on the points that we found the most powerful, and here we go.
So we wanted to kick off with Vanessa, who was our very first guest. And Jada and I were really overwhelmed by the amount of response that we got that really was recognising how healthy it was that she had an opinion around relationships that wasn't traditional. A lot of the women that kind of reached out to me in particular were saying how they were in their early 30s and they were single and they still felt that there was this expectation to be in a relationship and that the choice to even not be didn't really exist.
Yeah, I mean, me and you, Lou, I just turned 30. We're in that sort of age bracket where we are, I could really relate to Vanessa's story, both really pushing our careers and focused on that. And I think when you are in your work, something's got to give, right? And I personally feel like I've definitely not focused on the love and romance aspect as much as some of my friends have, because we've been traveling with work or focusing on that promotion or that next project. It just doesn't really stop. How do you feel like love's affected your life in your 30s?
I think I've never been happier than I am now. And I think that's a really, really important point to make, because I've been in relationships before and had, you know, I've been in good jobs where I've been content. But actually right now, I feel the strongest, the most confident and probably the most secure I ever have in my life. And I don't have someone there every day validating that. I've had to really search internally to get that validation from myself. And I think it's really important for us all to remember that no one else can give you that. And Vanessa mentioned this in the podcast, that you have to get that yourself. That is the most attractive thing to anyone, number one. And number two, you cannot serve as a good partner unless you have security and confidence in yourself as an individual.
Mm-hmm. You can't pour from an empty cup, right?
No. Yeah. Oh, that's a great analogy.
You can have that for free.
Thanks. I'll be dining out on that. But yeah, and I think, you know, someone as successful as Vanessa, who works for probably, to me, like one of the most impressive institutions, to sit here and say, you know, I've walked away from getting married 3 times because I felt pushed into that situation is so refreshing. Mm. Because a lot of people imagine successful women to have figured it all out and to have kind of the house, the car, the baby, the family and the successful job. And actually, that's not reality. And I think she was testament to that.
And I think it's quite courageous to not allow yourself to be content and to not just, you know, settle for mediocre. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging that, and I guess running away from maybe marriage or that security is quite scary, because you're taking the risk. What I'm used to and this routine and habit and pattern with this one person that I've got into, by saying maybe I don't want to get married right now, could be risking that, and they could walk away. And then what does your life look like when you're on your own? Is it scary? Is it confronting? But always being at home in your own company, and that security, I think personally allows you, it's obviously very healthy, but it allows you to have not only that inner strength, but know that you can always put boundaries in place when you are in a relationship,
yep,
no matter what that looks like, because you have to look after yourself and you can walk away and be alone, and that's okay too.
I also think we need to reframe what the word single is. And I think, you know, we're often talking about this at Bumble, that like a really great first date is still a success story. It's not just if you get married and end up having three kids that that's success. We need to remember that like momentary connectivity is really powerful and really serving in all of our lives. And I actually Googled single in the dictionary the other day because I wanted another word for it in something we were doing. And it said separated. So we're just expected to be attached to someone, apparently. Isolated, alone. And I really thought about, could we campaign against this to come up with a new definition of it that's independent and autonomous and kind of language that actually was much more about being fulfilled as an individual, independent body, so that people understand that that's fine on your own. And when you come together with someone, you only grow more powerful as a unit, mm-hmm. but you still hold power as an individual.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, she really was testament to that. And I'm really proud that she came on first, because it really set the tone, I think, for what we're unsubscribing from.
And I really loved when she spoke about, you know, how people approach her differently being pregnant in the workplace. A lot of the time she's this like massive, powerful figure that I guess people may have probably felt a bit intimidated by.
Yeah.
But when, you know, as soon as she was pregnant, it almost gave her that humanistic feel. And she said that how much she loved being approached differently and was going to carry on that attitude even after having the baby and coming back. And I think that's what makes women really strong leaders, being able to tap into both aspects of being really maybe masculine and quite hard. And then also having that, you know, empathic, emotional, a little bit more humanistic side to them. I think that makes a really strong leader.
Totally agree. The last thing I wanted to mention with Vanessa that I thought was really powerful was her description of work-life blend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so often we get asked, how do you find work-life balance? And I'm always like, it doesn't exist, but I've never had a way to describe it. And I think when she said it's a work-life blend, you know, we have 5 days where we work, so already it's not balanced, was a really kind of cool way to think about kind of not working a day in your life if you blend it to kind of work for you.
And you can't do 100% of everything, mm-mm. because there's only 100%.
Yeah.
So
we're all going back to like grade maths. One maths, like, oh wait, we knew that from the beginning.
I know, wait, there is only 100%. I can't put 100% in work and 100% at the house.
Does 200% not exist?
That's 200%. Yeah. Anyway, besides learning basic maths, we learned a lot from Vanessa. And then on episode 2, we had Joy, which was an incredible force to be reckoned with, mm-hmm. shifting the notion of identity and shaping a new form out of it as an indie artist. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just loved our podcast with her. She kept it really real, brought some really great points about, you know, channeling her roots, her Irish and Bengali mix, and brought that into like a new space coming from London, mm-hmm. and channeling that in her voice that she found within the music world. And yeah, I just loved how she carried that, like, that authenticity with her through her work. She could have shifted and been pigeonholed into maybe like an R&B artist because of the way she looks, but she completely disrupted that system and said, actually, no, this is my genre, this is what I like. And maybe it's hard for you to get your head around right now, but people will pigeonhole you and they'll fit you into a space that they are familiar with and recognize, and that works for their prejudice. But if you actually redefine that, then people will have to catch up.
Yeah.
And that's just the way we, you know, pioneers and trailblazers work.
I think also for me, you know, it's only been in my late 20s and now early 30s that I've really got to an attitude of like, you're not going to be liked by everyone, and that's fine. It's important to be liked by the people that you care about and that give you value back. And I think for someone, you know, who's, you know, not even 20, to have such a profound view on likability, popularity, and stepping away from people that don't serve her, I was like, I wish I thought like that when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real important point to any young women that are listening, that anyone that brings negativity into your space doesn't deserve to be in that space. And I think that's really powerful. And it shows that her
upbringing and the support that she had from her family gave her that fuel. Yeah. Yeah. So kind of lean into the people around you that care about you when you're younger, because they can often help you to find extra strength.
And I loved when she spoke about how her mother just walks into the corner shop or wherever it was, and she stood with purpose. And she was like, I don't really understand what that meant, but it just felt like it felt strong.
Yeah.
And she stood with purpose in everywhere she went, and she owned it. And, you know, she said she came from overseas and she couldn't speak English, and she navigated that space with confidence.
Yep.
And she, you know, if you feel like every room you step into, you deserve to be there, or even pretend you deserve to be there, and you stand with purpose, people around you will believe it too.
I mean, we've often talked about this in terms of like when I get up on stage at conferences, or, you know, you do your big panel talks, or go on this morning to talk about marathons. A lot of the time we're winging it, and we're like, okay, I'm going to give it my best shot. And I really hope it's good enough. And if it's not, I'll just try again next time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're in our 30s. So I think that's normal, that as you kind of get older, you find that sense of like, I'm going to give it my best shot and hope that's the best. But for someone her age to have that, I just think it's remarkable. And more women like her as kind of representation of what you can be and what you should be at that age is really important.
Yeah, and people don't have it figured out. We're just figuring it out constantly all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I know, going on and talking about marathons or whatever, I would never have run the marathon if I had known everything about it. I didn't even know how far a marathon was. If I had, I probably would have said, actually, guys, peace out.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, but I'm not going to, I don't think that's for me. So actually going into something, not knowing, not having any experience, having that ignorance is actually really powerful. So don't be scared of taking those risks, and know that you are worthy and deserve to be there just as much as everybody else.
And then I think just in addition to that, going back to a point on identity, you know, the music industry does have boxes of genres that you need to fit into, much like society has stereotypical genres of race and ethnicity and genders that we all expect people, or lots of people expect people to fit into. And I think it's brilliant and powerful that she is disrupting that and saying, I don't need to fit into any of those boxes. I can create a new box. And my new box doesn't have to be stereotyped. It doesn't have to fit an articulation of what you think it needs to be from a music point of view. I can create that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people that create that, the more fluid our society becomes, the more powerful we become.
Yeah, and I think what she broke down and what we discovered on the episode was really what is at the crux of that strong attitude. And I think family plays a big part in that, and a support network. So having Sony behind her and having her great mum and dad there and incredible siblings allowed her to constantly go back and have those touchstones of belief, so that you can push up against the world and test their boundaries. So keep those people close to you. Love that.
Bryony.
Oh,
your pal.
I love Bri.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, having someone like Bryony here is not only like ridiculously inspiring, but also the response that we got from her was just remarkable in terms of the mental health exposure that she gave to various different facets of her life. How did you feel having her on, because you know her so well?
I love having Bryony on. Me and her could just chat for ages, almost like you and me, Lou, to be honest. All the runs that we had been on, we got to know each other really closely, and she does not ever fail to just drop bombs of knowledge and wisdom. And she does so easily. Sometimes I think, how do you even know that? Well, where did that even come from? But I think when you...
That's what you're like, though. Oh. Before we were chatting, and I was like, Jada, don't say that now. Wait until we're on air.
My check-in.
What has happened to me? Exactly.
I loved having Bryony on, and I loved some of the points that she made when she went back to how we are created and how we are so extraordinary. And the fact that we're on this planet, one in, what is it, like the population of 10 billion or something? The fact that you are here today, that your mum and dad met, that their sperm and ovary met, that they went through and conceived you at that particular time, is the chances of that happening are like zero to none. It's so small. And yet we're caught up on the fact that we have a little bit of cellulite on our bums. Like, who cares? The fact that you are here, that you are healthy, that you are exactly the way you are and built to be who you are right now is what is important. And we forget the odds of that happening.
But also, we don't have the option to be someone else. So, like, you better start loving who you are, because it's a gift. And these shells that we're built in, you know, they're important, but they're not the most important. What's important is the way we treat people, how kind we are to people, and the values and the principles that we set for the generation that come after us. Yeah. And I think she's a great example of that. In actual fact, all the women that we've had on, they have this theme of restitching the way that we see mental health or identity or, you know, relationships. And I think what they all are is representation of a new wave of thinking.
Yeah.
And the more women we have like this talking about it and exposing it and using, you know, spaces like Instagram to document it, the better it will be for people that follow.
And I think with Bryony, she has really bravely publicly taken us on the journey of her recovery and having that real life connection with your audience when you're feeling something, I think is quite powerful. I mean, it's not for everybody, and this isn't like advice to like throw your life all out there and share everything unfiltered with the world. But I think having the power of using social media to tap into people's lives in real time that are really going through something is really powerful, because there's no filter on it most of the time, and you can see the highs, the lows, and it's not curated. I know with Bryony, she says it how it is. I think that's really refreshing, and different types of women, like, you know, she's not one of these posy Instagram girls, and I love that. She just throws up any old picture unfiltered whilst she's living it, and I love that. We don't have, as women, you know, we're told to sit quietly, don't take up too much space, and be coy, but actually no, I love how she has constantly been really gregarious and outgoing,
but also unapologetically herself.
Yeah,
you know, if someone sat at home and they're an introvert, shy person, like, you should also go and be exactly that. I think you're right, the point with her is that she's gone, this is who I am, and I'm not going to fit into a mode of expectation, and I'm going to put two fingers up to it and show what reality is. And I think it's been, you know, she's built a huge community, hasn't she, around her way of thinking and her tone and sentiment. And I think she's helped a lot of people, whether it's body image, mental health, recovery, and the more of that, the better.
And then you have women like Cassandra Gracie who sit behind the scenes supporting women, which is just as important. She's incredible, and really a leader in the Sony building. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. So Cassandra is in charge of Full Creative, which you guys would have found out if you listened to her podcast. And she is the reason why we were able to even record a podcast here at Sony, because we're in one of the Sony building cute little rooms recording at the moment. And she was the one that basically said, don't use traditional modes of marketing. Change it up a little bit. Why don't you have a podcast recording room in your building? Why don't you have a photo studio in the building that artists can have access to? Like, she really thought outside of the box. Again, she goes back to the importance of family and the importance of those real strong role models like her mum and her dad that would get up at the crack of dawn every morning. And that's why she wakes up at 5 a.m. every day to go boxing. Crazy.
I do the class like 4 hours after her. And they're always like, oh, Cassandra's been in and done 5,000 things before you. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, I work out at like 9 p.m. before bed. It's called sleeping. So, yeah, I loved that she was like, you know, being able to see that growing up, being able to see her parents get up every morning and go to work and show that sense of discipline really, you know, it goes down straight into the psyche of your children.
I think you just touched on a really like important word as well, that she's probably one of the most disciplined women I've ever met in terms of the way that she structures and kind of ritualizes her life. And I think there's a lot of power in discipline and knowing what works for you to be the best version of yourself. So, you know, she said, I have to get up at 5 because I have to feel strong and like I've done something in the morning, so when I go into work I can do X, Y, and Z. And she knows herself so well that she's curated her life in a way that's like, I tick all these boxes that make me the best version of Cass, and those boxes aren't the same for everybody.
And I don't think we often give ourselves the space to get to know ourselves. It's like, what makes you happy? What makes you who are you when you're on your own? I always loved that question because I know for a very long time I didn't know who I was when I was alone, because I hated being alone. So I filled it with people and friends and going out and hobbies and work, mostly work. But now I love my own time. And I think it's powerful, because then when you get into a relationship, you can say, actually, I love you, but I need to step away and go to my yoga class because that fills me up.
Yeah.
I need to go and have a massage because that fills me up. Mm. I need to go and just go for a walk alone.
Or I need to go out and have a bottle of wine and a pizza with my pals. Like, I remember I did an interview when I first started at Bumble and they were like, tell us about your typical day. And I was like, I mean, I like roll out of bed at like 10 to 8 and then like faff around for half an hour and then like probably drop my coffee and then like stumble into work and like try and make a decision. That's a bit extreme, but you get the picture. But they were like, oh no, we can't write that. So can you say that like you do yoga? And I was like, I absolutely can't do yoga at 6 a.m.
No.
Like, I'm dead to the world at that time. And they were like, well, we need to do something that's inspiring. And I remember thinking, if this piece is going to say that I do yoga at 6, and then I go and make myself a full eggs Benedict, and then I call Australia and Japan and China, and then I'm at work at my desk by 8:30, that is unrealistic in setting expectations for young women. That's unachievable.
It's not the truth.
But so we compromised, and they put that I wrote yoga, and then they put my other faff stuff. But it was just an interesting experience that we all think that being inspiring is having an insane work ethic, doing every single form of working out. You know, you can't just yoga anymore. You have to do HIIT and you have to do soul cycle. You know, it's everything.
And it's making me get anxious just hearing it.
But it's unrealistic. And also, I don't know any woman that does all of that. So I think she's, you know, she's remarkable in that sense. But her choice is that she boxes. And she also said, like, you know, I can't do yoga because it's not, that's not the way that I'm inclined as a person. And I think that was really cool.
I'm sorry, but just waking up sometimes is a big enough chore than trying to get to the
you
gym.
You have done something good today. Yeah, you opened your eyes.
Waking up and giving myself time to even like maybe have some breakfast is enough. I feel like, you know, we're told to do all these incredible, you know, rituals in the day. And sometimes actually just getting to work is a big enough thing. Mm. Knowing that you made it there, knowing that maybe you've got so much personal stuff going on and you've still done the basics.
Mm.
Like, come on, that is good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be told that I should be doing 3 different types of exercise on top of that. You can go and get out of here.
Yeah. You can go and get some sleep.
Yeah, go get some sleep. Although that being said, you know, knowing yourself and if exercise is what works for you, then I think that's just really valuable information.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's about knowing what works for you and disciplining yourself to do that.
And being able to like zone out of all the other jargon of what's telling us we should be and what we should do. And also taking these articles with a pinch of salt, like what you just explained, they're not always true. Take people's Instagram lightheartedly because that girl probably doesn't always get up and make that beautiful breakfast spread every morning.
Mm.
Like, knowing that that's not real.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Talking of someone who is real, our next guest after Cass was Gina. Gina Martin is incredible. If you listen to the podcast, we were remarkably impressed at her focus on activism, you know, her commitment to leading the upskirting bill, to supporting women. She gives all of her time to building communities and helping women to navigate insecurities and various different challenges that they face in their lives, and is a prime example. And you were talking about this earlier, Jades, that, you know, these young, ambitious women are standing for something. And it's just so emotional and impressive to see fearless young leaders changing policy within a year, you know, within a year and a half, 2 years. She achieved this entire campaign, and I think is testament to anyone listening that anything is possible. Any challenging situation that you are in, if you package it up and use the anger constructively, it can be a force for good to help other women or other people to not suffer that instance that you suffered.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's just remarkable. It blew me away. Like, to be able to actually change policy, you can't ever think that anything is impossible after speaking to her, right? And I think at first, what I found interesting, she says she led with fear. She led with this anger and this kind of resentment to her personal experience. And then as she started getting into it and was unpacking it, the experience that many people had faced that was similar to hers. And at first that was her motivator. And then eventually it turned into a place of love because she cares so much about the people's stories that she was hearing that then she became a leader in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think that was an interesting transition for me because I think that's the best way to lead. I don't think we should lead out of anger and fear, because then you always feel like you're running away from something and you always feel like, you know, you're heated and you can't make, when I come from a place of fear and anger, I can't make proper decisions.
Yeah,
but then as soon as that shifts and it's like, this isn't just about me and my experience, this is about everyone else's. Mm. And I need to stand in front of, you know, the room and try and conduct it in a way that is professional and productive.
Mm.
I think it has to come from a place of like, of stillness, in a sense of we're going to get there, but this is a fight that's going to take a while and you need a good head on your shoulders for that. Mm. And for her to show that discipline, it was amazing.
I agree. And I also think to your, you mentioned this just briefly earlier, that we cannot move forward unless regulation and policy changes. We do a lot of this work at Bumble that's like, awareness is great and empowering women is great, but the reason why women are paid less is because of policy. The reason why women aren't in senior board positions is because of policy. The reason why things like what Gina went through happened was because there wasn't regulation in place. So awareness is brilliant up until a point, but then it has to be used as a force for change through governmental policy or regulation in some form or another. And I think it was great to have her on because she showed that it's not as hard as we all think. You know, when you think of changing a bill or, you know, campaigning for something, you imagine standing outside the Houses of Parliament and shouting at someone, trying to make them to make a different decision. And what she did is she went through every channel and community and platform she could find to share her message to a point that pushed democracy in front of the House of Parliament before she did it herself. And I think that is just so powerful, and also a lesson and a learning to me and in myself in the work that I do, that it is possible and we need to be looking for all of the areas where we can change that.
Yeah, we have so much power. I mean, sometimes politics for me can feel super overwhelming and I don't even know where to start, and there's so much jargon attached to it and I don't know the full picture. And actually, if you start on a grassroots level about something that you believe in, if you're feeling it, there's people out there that feel it too.
Yep.
So never think that you're completely isolated and alone. Maybe you're just the first person to speak up about it. So what Gina did was create communities on such a grassroots level, build up that momentum and then propose it. Because these people, I mean, I'm not going to generalize, but are detached from the real world most of the time. They're sitting behind these glass doors and are looking out, assuming that, you know, the, most of the communities are a certain way, but actually, you know, most of the time they need to go out there and be immersed in the community. And I think if there's any injustice that you're feeling, surely there'll be people around you feeling it too. And don't be shying away from speaking up about it.
And also remembering that democracy can't exist on its own. Democracy is dangerous if people aren't educated as to what they're voting for. And I think what she did is she educated reams of people on an experience that is incredibly common, you know, across the world for many women. And that education led to this democratic passion building in numerous groups, so that when it was presented, not only was it, this is what we're campaigning for, but it was backed up with all of this reasoning as to why it was unjust for upskirting to happen. And I think that for me was just, yeah, so powerful and a real, a real kind of inspiring moment for all of us to know that the power of one is power enough.
Yeah. And I think that's also what Lauren, the lovely Lauren, did when she came on and spoke so candidly about her really remarkable experience with breast cancer and the community she built that kind of normalized what cancer could look like to many people and their experience, which isn't, you know, the old lady in nude tights with a bandana. It isn't somebody that's 50 upwards that suffers from it. It can be, she's what, 31. It can be, you know, somebody in their 30s or somebody in their 20s, and it isn't pink and fluffy. It can be quite horrible and relentless. So I loved what she did when she reshaped what cancer looked like, and she redefined how we talk about it with her Girls Versus Cancer campaign platform.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also she is a great example of the power of positivity. Jada and I, for anyone that's listening, really believe in manifestation across various different counts. And I think seeing someone that's gone through such a trauma, which could have disrupted her life for a long time, especially as she had previous mental health issues, you know, it can trigger a lot of that in a really destructive way. She used her positivity and manifested that it was going to be something that she focused on and gained purpose from. And just the ability to think like that is quite unusual, I think, you know, in a moment of quite heavy darkness. You know, obviously she had to go through the process when she was diagnosed, but quite quickly she decided to create a community and find a way to empower herself and others in it. Mm. And I think it's a great learning for me and for anyone that's listening. You know, we all go through challenges and low points in our lives, that they are okay and they're a rite of passage. And what they're essentially doing is they're giving you building blocks to focus and find purpose.
Yeah, yeah. What is this moment in life telling me? What is it saying? And what do I need to learn from it?
Yeah.
I think she tuned into that really well and was able to use it to empower others in her stride, I guess. She made it look so effortless, though.
I think the point there is vulnerability. I think when you take off your armor of ego and what people expect you to be, what you release is this like softer, more courageous, less, for want of a better word, hurtable person.
Yeah.
Because you're already saying, I'm vulnerable. So no one can, or whether it's cancer or someone bullying you or an uncomfortable situation in the workplace, no one can touch you if you've already opened yourself up to be like, I know this is about to happen.
Or when you call it out and like, you know, if people are like, I don't know, you're whatever, you're like, yeah, I already can own that about me. Or you tell the teacher you're going to be like a telltale or something like that, which is, you know, it's really, you don't want to be called a telltale when you're seven.
Absolutely not.
And she was like, and you know what I told them? I told them, that's just a label. I don't have to accept your label. And I was like, who the hell is this child? And what have you done with my niece? I mean, that is such my kind of niece.
That is amazing.
But I was like super proud. Like, you don't have to own the label. Mm. But also I think, you know, you've got the point of you can take off the armor, but then also it's allowing yourself to understand, to become less attached to your current identity.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to say that, you know, cancer for her felt like a burn, that you're going to see a scar there, but it's going to eventually heal and become a part of your skin. Mm. It will just be a different form of skin, and it's a scar, and she's like, I am still who, you know, the old Lauren, but I just have a different kind of head on my shoulders, and I think we can hold on really tightly to who we were, who, you know, what we have, the job we used to work in before we got fired, and really hold on and clutch onto that, because that, you know, validates us in some way, but actually it's okay for that to shift, and like let go of that. That identity does not define you.
No.
And will constantly move.
And yeah, you can, your identity is ever evolving. You know, if you've had a bad experience, or, you know, we all fuck up and make stupid mistakes, they don't define you. The way you react to them and the way that you take that on board as you move forward is far more important than the sum of the action itself. Because I think we're all affected by outside influences and, you know, temptation and all these different things that often, you know, definitely in my friendship group, you know, people make mistakes at work or in relationships and we feel like it's the end of the world. And actually it's not. It's about how you respond to them and how you implement your morals and your principles to help that evolve you and develop you, that I think is important. And she was a prime example of someone who went through something really challenging and took it on board, wove it into her tapestry and built an, you know, a more beautiful picture at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then moving on to our final, last but definitely not least guest, Scarlett Curtis. Scarlett is a dear friend of both of ours, and has previously worked quite a lot with Bumble across the Pink Protest, which is her campaign group, and her book, Feminists Don't Wear Pink, which Whitney, our CEO at Bumble, wrote an insert for. And it's all about reshaping and recalibrating what people think of feminism and how it's evolved in kind of the 21st century today. But what we were really interested about Scarlett was where that need for campaigning came from and how she is able to speak so openly about her mental health. And what we learned was a lot of that came from her family again and her upbringing and having an open environment to explore that.
Yeah, I think because they were so articulate with their language around mental health and mental well-being, I think that allows you as a collective, as a whole family, to be able to explore that a bit better rather than it being taboo. And you know, not a lot of us have the language to place on our mental health. We just sort of, you know, push through and think, oh, it's, you know, I'm just a bit stressed, or I'm under a lot of pressure right now. But or you're just like, I don't feel well. Mm. I have a headache.
Mm.
And you don't really recognize what the trigger of that could have been.
Mm.
But yeah, being able to have that space to explore it with your family and call it out, I think is quite valuable.
I think also, you know, I've been to their house a few times and I've never been somewhere that seems so community focused. They have people coming in and out the doors. They currently have a refugee living with them. Every time I've gone for a meeting or to visit them, I've felt like it's a real home of experience and diverse culture, and you know, everyone is welcome. They have kind of an open door policy, and it's something that as I kind of grow, I say I grow up, I should be a grown up, but as I grow up, I
never grow up. Never,
it's a trick. I look at their family and the way that they've created this environment of kind of open door policy, and it's something that I really want to create for my family. I think the more people from different backgrounds and different walks of life that are going through that revolving door, the more enriched you all will be. And I think Scarlett's definitely testament to that. And obviously, you know, her father is Richard Curtis and her mother is Emma Freud, both incredibly iconic in the film and entertainment and TV world. And, you know, I think she could have very easily gone into that industry. You know, she has a complete network set up for her. And I think what's really powerful is that she's used a position of privilege, of white privilege, and just like we all should, campaigned and focused on utilising that network for good and for change. Yeah. And I think that is incredibly admirable and a lesson to all of us that we should do that where we can.
Yeah, and not only creating communities, but also being a part of a bigger picture and looking outside of our little immediate lives and thinking, like, what is there more? Whether that's, is there more that can be done, or is there more to the life I currently live?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's been a few commonalities between all of our guests that is the reason why we think they're really awesome and takeaways for you guys.
Mm.
I think, you know, creating communities is one, but also having that safe trust friendship group or family group has been able to influence them in some of their decisions and
but also feeling in control and like you have a choice to edit that where it doesn't serve you. You know, as you evolve in life, there are some people that add value and other people that you just move away from. And I think having the confidence to say this person doesn't serve me, you know, it's not that I don't like them, it's just that in my ecosystem, it's not working.
Yeah. But I think in order to do that, it's really hard if you don't even have the like role models there to project and show you what is acceptable. So it's like, where do we find those role models if we don't necessarily have them in our lives that are our mum or dad or friends?
Mm.
Where do we go for that? And I think hopefully like this podcast is a resource and we can show you women that we think are great role models. But yeah, I think you have to go and look and find them, whether it's through stories or through like TV or on Instagram. I think role models play such a key part, because if you don't see it, how can you believe it?
I agree. So hopefully season two, we can just produce a lot more role models and keep.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think that really it's great to have that touch point.
Mm.
Otherwise, how do you know what your boundaries are? How do you know, where do you know that, you know, enough is enough? Mm. I shouldn't tolerate that in my relationship or in, you know, workplace or whatever it is.
Yep. Something else that you mentioned outside of support group is, you know, self-care and therapy and exercise. They're all tools that work appropriately for different people. And I think Bryony touched on this really well, that, you know, going on medication should be something that we all talk about. You know, our brains are chemicals that are flooding around, and some cases we are more imbalanced than others. And having medicine to support that shouldn't be a taboo, and it shouldn't be stigmatized, and it should be something that we expose as quite normal if that's the appropriate route for you. In the same way that, you know, for other people, therapy works better, for other people, community support. And I think understanding that there is a wealth of help out there and knowing that if one doesn't work for you, there are other alternatives as well.
Yeah. And I always say education is power and learning about it. And that doesn't mean go down like a scary rabbit hole on Google, Dr. Google, but
yeah, do not do that.
Do not do that. But I think psychologies.com is an incredible website, and there's loads of different like scholarly articles and, you know, really like professional advice mm-hmm. that you can read and understand a little bit more about maybe what you're going through.
Yep.
I'm not saying, I'm not like signing this off as a certified tool. There's other great places, like I'd say like Samaritans, Young Minds, Minds Charity, go to like your doctor and proper professional. But if you kind of are just trying to unpick a little bit more about how you're feeling, mm-hmm. psychologist.com has loads of resources that help you empower yourself.
Mm. And I also think, yeah, creating a safe space within your friendship group to talk about your problems where you feel like you're heard is really important. And knowing that the people around you, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's your community, are looking out for you. Mm. I think we can often feel, especially with social media, incredibly isolated, and that, you know, if we're ill, you know, who's going to bring us something if we don't have a boyfriend, or if our car breaks down, like who should we call? You know, we're getting to that point where typically you'd live in a community and everyone would help each other. And actually we're feeling more disconnected and isolated than ever. So really focusing on building that as opposed to just expecting it, I think, definitely important.
And if you are in, you know, like often people find themselves in like dysfunctional relationships and things and then isolate themselves mm-hmm. from communities.
Yeah.
Learn, like, you know, understand that the people that are around you are outside of the bubble, and looking in, the reason why probably their advice you don't really agree with at the time and is because they have your best interests at heart and they can see it for what it is, mm. the situation you're in, quite clearly. So don't isolate the people around you that are your anchors.
Yep.
They are your rocks. You might not agree with them right now, but eventually, you know, they're there to support you. So don't push away your support network.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So just to quickly sum up, we thought we'd just do kind of a quick one-liner on what we think the kind of main pieces were from each of our great guests. Vanessa, we really feel like she reversed the expectations of marriage and relationships and shifted that thinking for us.
Joy shifted the notion of identity and shaped a new form from it.
Bryony really exposed and destigmatized the notion of mental health and normalizes stigma ongoingly on her social media around body image and really being yourself.
And the lovely Cassandra is a leader and a real, I'd say, trailblazer in the new world of role models, encouraging everyone at Sony and the artists that she works with to be themselves.
Gina, obviously we mentioned earlier, but a force for change when it comes to activism, and really a moment for us all to recognise that there is opportunity for every single one of us to drive social change with huge impact.
Yeah, and then we had Lauren, who normalises illness, particularly cancer, and reshapes how we see life as somebody that may have been newly diagnosed or is ill or unable to live the life that they once used to lead.
And then we finished our unsubscribe podcast with the amazing Scarlett Curtis, who really showcased that having an environment to speak openly about mental health, creating a space where you can expose any type of conversation, leads to power and really uses her position and privilege for good. And that's something that we can all strive to do better at.
And all of the women that we've had on our guests are all unsubscribing from something. And I think it's given us food for thought of things that we could unsubscribe from that we don't need anymore in our lives, that we don't need to believe in. Where did that message even come from? How did it become ingrained into our minds and, you know, a part of the tapestry of our lives? How can we unpick that and restitch it with things that are going to serve us moving forward and things that are going to actually help us be the best version of ourselves?
So I guess if Jada and I had one ask from anyone that's listening, it would be to really have a think yourself with the help of all of these amazing women's advice as to what you should and could unsubscribe from to make your life a better, happier place.
Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed Unsubscribe as we have enjoyed making it and that it's managed to make a difference to your everyday life.
We urge you to move forward with courage, positivity and strength and hope that this series can build the foundations of plenty of series to come. Remember, we don't have to subscribe to the way things are, and most importantly, it's never too late to unsubscribe.
From all of us at Bumble, our friends at Fourth Floor Creative, and of course from Jada and myself in particular, thank you. Thank you for your time, for listening, for your comments, and more importantly, for your support. We're looking forward to seeing you next season already. Unsubscribe is powered by Fourth Floor Creative and brought to you by Bumble.
The Social Network, where it's never too late to make the first move.